great pass for Matthews. Matthews is in alone. Scores! Holy mackerel! Big Pappy has given the Leafs the lead.
Welcome back to the Leafs Cast, where, boys, we have got a series.
W. I love winning.
Your Toronto Maple Leafs have come back in the series to tie it 1-1 right in Boston. We've got a couple days off before we head back to Toronto.
Stealing home ice.
But Stephen Douglas here, joined by Tim and Ryan Allison to discuss the game, what we learned, and celebrate. Feels like it's been a while since we've had something to celebrate.
I forgot how stressful the end of the games are. Like, try to hold that lead, and you know, yeah, Boston's pushing, and like, man, it was, I felt like I was only taking one breath per minute.
We celebrate each like successful time we get the puck out of our zone more than any goal in the regular.
It is crazy how when we go empty net, Boston's got the puck, 6 seconds later we manage to not really be able to touch it for a minute, right? In that, like, it was a long minute of empty net there. But Leafs took the W. It was the first time they've led against the Boston Bruins this season and postseason.
Oh my goodness, I couldn't handle all those stats. Like, oh, you go back this far before the Leafs beat Boston. Oh, the Leafs suck at this. Oh, here's all the playoff score games where we score two goals every game, and it's like, stop.
I think this game, though, it was not a perfect game. We'll get into all the things that went on, but I think this is the blueprint for how the Maple Leafs, like, this is the path that you can see them not only beating Boston, but continuing to go deep in the playoffs, is playing the way that they did tonight. It was like the same engagement level that you saw in the first game, but with actual like offensive pressure. Our penalty kill was much better, even though we let in that one early on. We still had some stupid penalties, which we'll get into, but Samsonov had a rebound game. Wasn't perfect. Probably still not the better of the two goalies, but definitely good enough for us to get the win, and it just all came together to a regulation win in TD Gardens. Those are hard to come by.
Man, even Allmark, some insane saves. Like, yeah, if we lost this game, like, definitely he's the number one star on the other side. Like, some of those saves, debatable whether they were saves or not, but, like, you know, NHL video replay.
Hey, if the Leafs were going to win this series, they were going to need to steal Wayne Boston. They've now done it. We're heading back to Toronto. We've got a couple days off, and we can hope that the health of the Leafs gets better. We should really get into, I guess, the specifics of the game. So, what stood out to you from some performances? Let's shout out some names.
All right, I'm taking the low-hanging fruit here. It's got to be number 34, Austin Matthews. The guy stepped up. Not only did he get the game-winning goal off a beautiful move, but I think they'll be fishing out Allmark's jockstrap from the refs in this one. But no, that was a beautiful, beautiful play there. But I think all through the game, like, we saw that line step up and be the dominant line we needed. Like, Domi brought the intensity. Bertuzzi, mixed number twosie. He had some good moments and then some, like, real boneheaded moments. I'm still not quite over that. He's lucky we got the W.
Yeah, I agree, Tim. I'd go as far as to say that, like, Matthews, Domi, those were our two best players in that game. And I was thinking about it after the game, thing, like, what could Matthews do going forward? And, you know, the biggest advantage with home ice is you're able to get that matchup. You're able to get, you know, your top defenders, both blue liners and forwards, out there against Matthews after every draw. And it's hard to get him some space. And moving forwards in game three, game four, those are in Toronto, you should see Austin Matthews get more shifts against the Bruins' third line, fourth line. Like, those will come. And I'm just excited to see what that line can do, because they were buzzing and Domi was setting Matthews up the whole time. I was, I think rightfully so, harsh on Max Domi for his performance in game one. You're right, Steven, he was engaged, but he was unhinged. He crossed the line. He's doing exactly what we need him not to do with Brad Marchand, which is letting Brad Marchand win. In this game, he was still physically engaged. He was still battling hard every shift, but he was doing the things that helped us generate offense and get to get just really to get Matthews the puck. That's what he was doing all game long. And if Domi can keep that up, that's the kind of performance that says, like, I want to sign him long term, despite his defensive flaws, despite everything else about him, who's inconsistent this regular season. If that's the performer he's going to be in the playoffs, which is what we got him here to do, I'm all in on that version of Max Domi.
I think so. You know, Auston Matthews had 69 goals in the regular season. I'm not sure he had one that was like the goal that he scored tonight. Would you guys agree? I can't think of an Auston Matthews breakaway ever. Has that ever even happened?
It had shades of the Kasperi Kapanen breakaway goal from a number of years ago. Just dirty, filthy goal. It was beautiful.
And he was pumped. I mean, some of my favorite Auston Matthews goals of all time are him against the Bruins in the playoffs over his career, and that goal is going to be right up there. And especially, right, the goal to take the lead. We were tied 2-2 at that point. So, yeah, that's Auston Matthews, incredible. And you're right, Max Domi, like, you know, when I watch this game and see how the Bruins defend, they're, I don't know that it's necessarily a penalty, but it just feels like they're kind of hanging on to our guys all day. Like, nobody can skate. Nobody can get away from anybody. There's so much holding. And there's not a lot of space, right? And when you look at a lot of the chances the Leafs got tonight, it's when they would get that little bit of space. And Max Domi just he creates that because he's so sudden in his movement, and it's unlike anybody else on the Leafs. And it's what it's what's given him the ability to obviously score tonight, but like make that line work. Like even though Auston Matthews had a great game, Max Domi really made that line work with his ability to just in tight right around the net. His lateral movement's like elite, and he's a little water bug out there, and I love it. So, go first line. That's what I said at the end of the game, or the last pod. I said the first line needs to be better. So I win. All my takes last pod were good, and I win.
All the takes. Well, I guess we didn't actually. It's a lot easier to get to it when you know we won, but we won without William Nylander. Mm-hmm. Guys, Leafs still being ridiculously frustrating on how like opaque they're being about what actually is going on. All they will say is that Steven's being ridiculous, and the sources are pointing to something upper body, but still like he skates a little bit. He's with the scratches. He's maybe on, maybe not. It's like we have no idea.
I mean, he has been on the ice skating and taking part of practices. Like he's trending in the direction that. I think at this point I'd say I'm expecting him to play in game three, if not definitely game four, because there's a bit of a gap between game three and game four. So I hope game three. But you can see the clear spot of where he's going to go, and that's in Nick Robertson's spot. Do you guys know what his ice time was this game?
Ooh. Did he hit 10 minutes?
7-something. Under 8 minutes of ice time, Nicky Robb. And that probably is just the nature of it's a close game. And, you know, we've had scars upon scars of giveaways late in games, which Nicky Robb does from time to time. So 7 minutes is just screams coach doesn't trust him. And unfortunately, I think that'll be if Nylander comes back, that's probably just going to be the swap. Nylander goes on the third line and we keep the top two lines like they were. Our second line was also pretty good this game, so I don't think we want to switch that up.
I would say second line was great. Love John Tavares, but like I want to give a shout out to the fourth line, David Camp and Connor Dewar. They came to play.
Reeves, we could say his name. It was a
Tim
good
can't.
Trifecta.
Tim can't. We can't, Ryan.
It was a good trifecta all around.
Tim's like, and the other guy. The big
and
one.
And the other guy. No, what I want to say is, like, last game, I wanted to see that the Leafs wanted it as much as I wanted it. And those guys hustled when they were out there. That third guy on that line, I still don't know what he was doing holding that line, weird line change penalty. I don't know.
That
he had some good
one.
Moments, but like I wouldn't say quite the standout level of Camp and then.
You did bring it up though, Tim. While we were watching the game, that because we were talking about how good the third line. Every time that the fourth line was on the ice, we were in their end. We were creating pressure and actually getting some scoring chances off of it. And I'm saying like, man, our fourth line is really buzzing right now. And you said like, well, it's hard to tell whether it's the Leafs' fourth line's buzzing or the Bruins' fourth line just sucks. And made me think that we were looking at the on paper, like before the games were even starting, and the Bruins fourth line sucks. Like they don't have the depth, and I wouldn't say that on paper our fourth line looks that impressive either. But again, like, I get excited to games 3 and 4 in Toronto when we can get some shifts with Marner and Tavares and Nyes out there against that fourth line, or Matthews, Bertuzzi, Domi out there against that fourth line. Like, if Reeves, I could say his name, Tim, if Reeves and Kampf and Neuer can do that against the fourth line, imagine what 69 goal man Austin Matthews can do. So it's a kink in the armor that I like.
Yeah, really finishing their checks and not letting the Bruins get into their head. I feel like if there is one line that, like, the Bruins fourth line, yeah, you're right, there's no skill on there, and they seem to just be, I don't know, trying to mess with our guys, basically. And it wasn't happening. David Kampf, they were trying to, I don't know, give him the business, and he wasn't taking it. And yeah, it's an energy line. I feel like they played a ton. And we've watched so many of these playoff series now, everybody that's listened to this pod has. I don't know that we've ever had our fourth line better than the opposition's fourth line.
Yeah.
Maybe it's early to deem it, you know, for sure better. I hope we're not, like, jinxing anything for the next one.
It wasn't game one, too. It was, like, one of the only bright spots of game one, that our fourth line actually looked pretty good out there. So it could be a sign, but you're right. It's a long series because you can't draw too many conclusions after two games.
I am concerned for Matthew Nyes. I think he got – I'm going to use the word walloped. Matthew Nyes got walloped, what, no less than 9 times in that game? Is he even going to be – is it just because he's so big that when he falls down, it looks like he's going to crack the ice? That guy was getting obliterated tonight. He's got to keep you.
I would say
up.
It was definitely a rough game, but, like, forgive me for going off on a rant here, but those Boston Bruins are the most disrespectful players to the game of hockey. I don't know if their skate sharpener wasn't working. They were flipping and flopping all over the ice. Like, it was ridiculous. I felt bad for them. Just, like, totally embarrassing. Then you see, like, their captain crying and rolling around on the ice is, like, absolutely despicable performance. I couldn't even believe it. Like, I couldn't believe it 5 minutes in, and they kept up the entire game. Just, like, absurd.
Yeah, they definitely dialed the embellishment up to 11 in that game. But all the same, they baited the Leafs into 2 more stupid penalties. After, like, game one, I was sure if there was one thing that was going to change, it's the Leafs would not be idiots again and just fall into the Bruins trap 2 games in a row. That Keefe would really let them have it, and they would get that out of the game. But, like, so early into the game, Jake McCabe just comes and lays a big cross check, which partially is like, yes, that always happens, and usually there's no call, and now we got a call. But you can't do that. And Tyler Bertuzzi, late in the game, we just got a 3-2 lead. Just two-hand baseball bat swings a stick at Brad Marchand. And, yeah, like you say, Tim, he goes tumbling to the ice like a crybaby and making sure that all the refs see it. Yes, it's embellishment. But, no, you cannot do that if you're Tyler Bertuzzi, especially at that point of the game. Like, I did not want to see him even touch the ice after he did that.
Well,
it was disgusting.
And both those penalties were after the whistle. I mean, they suspend Leafs for stuff like that due to it after the whistle, right? Like, you're not – I know you get away with
that. Don't
even
joke like that, Steven.
Sometimes I feel – well, yeah, it's a retroactive suspension.
George Peros is now looking after listening to
we'll
the Leafs.
We'll take him as a listener. He's you can't do that after the whistle. I'm not sure what – well, there is no excuse. You have to police that better because it's frustrating where – at the end of the last game, like, there was so much wrong and we still had those penalties. Like, this game, so much went right. We still have these penalties. This is something that you can fix better than the last game, but it's just, I don't know, knucklehead stuff. Like, it's after the whistle. The ref's looking right at you. Jake McCabe, that was ridiculous. Brad Marchand, like, the ref was holding on to him as Tyler Bertuzzi. Like, you're right. I don't know what the punishment is, but twofold. I don't know. Bad.
I mean, credit to the Leafs, especially on that Bertuzzi call. Like, I could just see the future of the Leafs letting Pastrnak score on that power play and then blowing the game in overtime. It was so clear to me. But the penalty kill, actually, that was the best penalty kill that they did the entire 2 games so far. Yeah, well, I mean, really, like, Boston had nothing going. And we've seen, you know, Boston's power play is so lethal against us. And we didn't let them have an inch out there when the game was on the line. So that was good.
I mean, if you want to talk about resilience, you go back to that first period. I was livid that those Leafs allowed the stupid goal with 10 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Like, how incompetent do you have to be Like, the intermission guy showed it, like, what are these half the team doing up at the blue line with 5 seconds left, and they Bruins just score. I thought they were done after that. I thought that, like, they would just be going to crush, like, Leafs just throw the momentum away. Once again, here we go. But they turned it around. Sorry, you go ahead. But it's like they bounced.
Well, no, just about that goal. Like, right before it happened, Samsonov took a puck, like, in the neck or at least high up.
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started. I'm shooting at Samsonov's head all game.
So he takes the puck clearly in immense discomfort. Like, he throws his helmet off, and he's on the ice, you know, Brad Marchand-ing it, like, crying and not good. And there's, like, what, 12 seconds left. If you guys were Sheldon Keefe, would you just take out Samsonov and put in Wall for those 12 seconds? Because he's clearly not comfortable. And the Bruins got one shot and they scored on it.
I don't know. I mean, the guy that took the shot was a one-timer from like a four-time 40-goal man. I don't know if Wall's saving that one either. I've never even seen that before now that I think about it. Like, he comes out for a sec, goes back in. I'm going to blame the Leafs more than Samsonov there. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, you don't see it too often because even like goalies, like they need to warm up, they go through their stretches and everything, and so I don't know. Maybe you rushed him back a little bit. It's hard to say, but if we are talking about,
I mean, at minimum, they could have taken their time out just to give him another 30 seconds to cool off. I don't know. It's just like maybe it's too easy to say in hindsight because they scored, but you see your goalie like that, and he's on the ice, and he's just, like, not good. And then they scored 4 seconds later. Like, the Bruins probably knew, like, all we got to do is get a shot in here. And
what speaking of Samsonov, a big part of the Leafs' win tonight, right? I mean, Sammy, where the last game, we all would agree, he didn't make any of those extra saves that ends up winning you the game. Tonight he made 2, 3, 4 of them. One absolute beauty there in the third. And that's the kind of play that Sammy makes when he's good, right? Like, when we say he didn't have one of those crazy saves last game, it's been a while since we've seen one of those. And when they come, they usually come in bunches. So, like, I'm really hopeful that we're going to have a good Sammy game next game. And that's just the kind of performance the Leafs are going to need to be able to be competitive in this series. Because Ullmark was, once again, like, very good. Boston's not going to put out a bad goalie this series.
I think Samsonov got better as the game went on. Early on, his rebound control was just way off. Like, some of the amazing saves he made were because he just, like, put out a rebound in the worst possible spot and had to sprawl over and make a big save. But you're right, Steven. In that third period, he was lights out, and Boston got a lot of really good chances, and he just shut the door every time. And that's the kind of Samsonov that we need. That's the kind that won a playoff round for us last year. And I think you're right. I think probably game three, it's going to go back to Swayman, which was probably always the plan. And Swayman's going to be great, and Allmark's going to be great. Like, that's the thing. Not even just Swayman and Allmark, but, like, Boston in general, they don't have fantastic games and, oh, they didn't show up this game. Like, the Boston that showed up in game one and the Boston showed up in game two is the same Boston that's going to show up for the rest of the series. They just come every single game ready to play, and you have to as well. Otherwise, you're going to look like he did in game one and just throw the games away. We have to play at our best every game if we're going to beat these
every
guys.
Every game. And credit to where credit's due. I was wondering if Samsonov should have been taken out after game one. My faith was wavering. I'll admit it. Samsonov was the right goalie to have in net tonight. He bounced back. Yes, he did have some shaky spots, but overall, key part of the win.
I've been on a social media break the last, like, couple weeks. Anyway, I re-downloaded Twitter after game one. And, like, the first thing I saw in there was
somebody... Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I want to... Misery loves company. Anyway, but, like, one of the first things I see on there was a poll. It's like, who starts game three? Or, who starts game two? And it was Samsonov, Wohl, or Murray? I voted for Murray.
That's funny.
And a lot of other people voted for Murray.
Oh, no.
Just for fun. But... yeah, we're going to need that from Sammy. I just hope that he can keep it together. And, you're not going to win this series only making the saves that you should make. You got to make a couple of extras. And,
exactly. You know,
Boston loves that one-timer. And until we get TJ Brody out there to block him, we're going to be in trouble. So, Yeah, huge aspect.
What do you guys think about the defense? Like, so Sheldon Keefe decided to go with the same defense as game one. We were a little, I was a little surprised that Brody didn't draw in. I would have put Brody in game one, but you know, Keefe doesn't always listen. What do you guys think?
I think it was probably the weakest element to our game, specifically the defense in our own end. You saw it in full force in third period when we're trying to lock down that lead, that they would like get the puck, and the puck moving defenseman aspect just wasn't there. They would get it, they'd hold it for way too long, Boston would converge, and all of a sudden we can't get it out. Or they would panic and just like flip it around the boards right to a Boston player. We just had the hardest time moving the puck. Boston's forecheck is just crazy. Like, they are so aggressive and deep, deep every single time. We struggled with it. We struggled with it a lot in game one, and I think we didn't get any better in game two, really. So I don't know. Like, putting in TJ Brody isn't necessarily an upgrade in that. Like, our guys who are good at it are Riley, for sure. He's great at it. Liljegren is pretty good at it, and it kind of ends there. Yeah. So that might just be something that we just can't fix and have to weather.
That stretch pass was tough. I think these forwards need to come back a little bit, because that, right, that's what happens, is they get a little spooked. You know, there's a Boston guy in their face, they get a little spooked, and then they wait. And by the time they have some space to make a pass, everybody's 100 feet down the ice, and it's hard to complete those passes. And that was, a weak aspect of the game. But then, like, you bring up, like, swapping out or Brody, I'm assuming, for Lyubushkin. Like, Lyubushkin, some of his offensive instinct tonight, you know, and he's with Morgan Riley, he's out there in a lot of important situations. He was looking like Cody Ceci at times, right? Yeah. Just, like, kind of had no idea what to do with the puck. So I don't know. I wonder about that.
So one piece that I did notice, that, like, further credit goes to Sheldon Keefe. Like, I know we always talk about Sheldon Keefe getting out coached, but he made a few good lineup changes through the game. Like, one of those things was, like, Riley and Liljegren starting the offensive zone. Like, Lyubushkin clearly didn't have in the offensive zone. When he didn't do that change, it stuck out every time. defensive faceoffs for the fourth line, it wasn't actually Reeves out there every time. Like, he would cycle Yarncrook through.
Yeah, that was good.
With it's just these things that just, like, this is a better line than what the standard, the fix the boilerplate ones are. So credit there. And I mean, you know, got the win. So of course that winning cures all questions. Like, you could go on. Like, if we lost that game, we'd be going off on, like, the passes were sloppy and, like, the momentum wasn't always there back and forth.
The passes were very sloppy. Like, we were hitting guys in their skates all game long, or just, like, weak backhands right to Boston. Like, that's little things that you can clean up and need to get better. Yeah. All in all, though, I would say that if I had to, like, pick, because it was a very close game and it could have gone either way. Allmark made big saves, Samson made big saves. If I had to pick one team that I'd say, like, this team probably deserved to win, I'd probably say it was the Leafs this game.
I would agree.
Like, they played well. I was thinking about who I would say has been Boston's best players through the first two games of the series. And I was surprised that my answer wasn't Pasternak. I actually don't think he's been super effective out there. He never looks like the most. I'd probably say it was Marchand. Marchand is the guy who's always making havoc and generating offense. And, like, I don't know. What would you guys say?
I would say it's the goalies.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I guess I was thinking of the skaters, but yes, I would agree. Goalies have been their standout.
But yeah, like I've been thinking back to Boston series in the past, like, on defense, Chara always made an impact every shift he's out there. McAvoy, he's great. No, but not, like, he hasn't been an impact guy. Lindholm, not that noticeable.
You know, it was McAvoy that Matthews got around there for his goal. So it wasn't even some scrub. He beat the best.
Made him Matthews look like is getting scrub. Into it tonight a little bit, too. Getting a little feisty.
Everyone was throwing their bodies. What's funny, like, as the game, maybe it was after, you know, the eighth time that Nyes got rocked, or just, like, every time the puck goes in the corner, like, people were ignoring the puck and just hitting people. It's like, this is a series, like, there's no way these two teams are going to go four rounds, because they're going to be, like, they're all going to be bumped in bruises after the first round.
Yeah, but, like, isn't that just That's what all the teams – like, you don't think Florida and Tampa are playing hard and heavy?
Didn't you see after game one, it was like a record for most hits in through the first period or something like that of a playoff game? Like, these guys are hitting more than any other series. They hate each other. I agree with you, Tim. And I'm going to put Timothy Liljegren on the – whatever this list is that Matthew Nyes is on, where I'm not sure if he's going to make it. Timothy Liljegren is just getting absolutely walloped every time. Yeah. He hasn't figured that out yet. He's going to get hit every single time he goes back.
But I don't think that's a coincidence that Boston's targeting guys like Nyes and Liljegren. Like, they probably see the name on the back and they're like, let's go after these guys because they're not going to be able to hang with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what the suplex last year. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely all part of the game. It's all premeditated. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Going to go after.
Lost him.
So,
So you talk about Willie comes back. Most likely slots in for Nick Robertson, rest in peace. I mean, what if Bobby McMahon is healthy? What happens there?
Yeah, Bobby McMahon's injury has been very overshadowed by Nealon. I don't hear anything about him. I actually don't even know if, like, is he rumored to be back soon, or does no one know? Or like,
I'm not sure if he was at practice today. No, that's the thing. Everyone only talks about Nealon.
It's all Nealon.
Because I thought about that, too, because you bring up, like, Willie coming back, slotting in there, and I don't know. I guess we don't really need to waste time talking about it because we don't actually know if he'll be back. Thursday's a ways away.
Well, it does make it interesting in the sense that I don't think that Keith is going to want to break up that fourth line because they've been cooking both games now. So if Bobby McMahon comes back and he's going to bump somebody out, it's probably going to be Matthew Nyes, right? Like, it's not like we're putting Domi off the top line to make him center, so we're not getting rid of Holmberg. And, like, Robertson's already gone for Nylander, so I don't know. It's interesting. But maybe by then someone will get suplexed and we'll need someone to come in, so we'll see.
Don't put that into the universe, Ryan. Don't put that into the universe. A couple of quick hitters. That goal that Yarncrook scored, or the shot that was maybe a goal reviewed, was that a goal or not?
The high stick one? Bertuzzi?
No, that was Bertuzzi, the one right in the glove, and they reviewed it to see if it crossed the goal line.
I would say no. I think they made the right call. I think that because if they called it no goal on the ice, so you needed definitive proof to call it a goal, and I didn't see any white between the puck and the thing, but you didn't really get a good angle of it, so it might have gone in, but I think they made the
I'm
right
not
call.
not too hot about that one. Definitely, like, the Bertuzzi one was definitely a high stick, but that one is like, well, I don't think you're getting that one. I was still just in awe that, like, Allmark got it at all, and it's like,
Allmark made a few, like, unbelievable saves. It's like, on Nick, the one on Nick Robertson? Come on. Yeah. Come on.
I just didn't know if you guys got a better angle. I was on the biased American broadcast tonight, so they just wouldn't show the angle or something. But yeah, Leafs had a disallowed goal and maybe a goal by Yarncroke and
Matthews.
But we got a W. 1-1.
Well, it's so we come out of the first game. I was thinking about this on the drive home from your place, Tim. Of was I overreacting to game one? Because I was a very negative Nancy after that. And I don't think I was, because they were just brutal in that game. Like, all the good things we saw in this game, none of that was happening in game one. And just because they were horrible in game one, and just because it was an astute observation by myself that they sucked, it doesn't mean that the series was over, because now we have won game two. We're leaving the opening two games in Boston, having split the games 1-1, which means that home ice is now ours again. Like, technically, we're the favorites in the series now.
Yeah.
So if you were to grade the Maple Leafs on the first two games, you could only be happy. You could only say it was a success. We won one of the games.
I guess so. It would be hard to give them an actual grade because, like, I feel like the performances have been, like, quite different from game one to game two. But, yeah, no, like, if at the start you say, like, would you be happy with a 1-1 split coming out of Boston? That's a better outcome than...
Well, if I told you a week ago that come right after game two, the series is going to be tied 1-1 with both Allmark and Swayman being unbelievable goaltenders and William Nylander not even in the lineup, you'd be like, this is great. Like, that's amazing that they pulled that off. And they did. So, yeah. when they lose big. And when they win, who cares how they win? Because they win. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah, I think and you head back to Toronto. I mean, you know, surviving these two games in Boston, it's a scary atmosphere. It's loud. You know, good things happen for the Bruins, like the disallowed goal or whenever they get a power play and that building is rocking. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the Maple Leafs fans to go bananas and create a similar atmosphere in Toronto. I mean, we've all been in that building for playoff games. It's so different than regular season. Like, it's going to be loud. Leafs fans can bring it. And Auston Matthews always scores at home. So I'm pumped for these home games. And I don't know. It's nice that now we get a couple days off after a win.
Yeah.
We don't have to stew in this for too long, right?
Yeah.
Because we got this weird schedule. We don't play again until Thursday.
So. No, we play Wednesday. It's Wednesday, stop. Saturday. Yeah, you're wrong.
Wait,
Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Duke, I can come over to your house on Thursday. Never mind. I had to cancel my plans. Really? Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday. I know they give us the extra, like, they don't give us the extra day off to travel. They give it between game 3 and 4. It's very strange.
It's so dumb. I'm so they say, dumb. Oh, Nylander's out. Let's cram in as many games as possible. Meanwhile, you have Dallas, who's like, oh, yeah, take a week off between the regular season and playoff. We don't mind. Come on.
It's very, very strange schedule making. I'm sure it's all a conspiracy against us, as is everything in life. So
wait, Tim laughs at my Nylander's not actually injured theory, but then entertains that the league scheduled more games for the Leafs because Nylander is injured. Give me a break.
Less of a crazy take.
I need a brother on this podcast. I'm sick of you two.
All right. Tell me, what are the keys to game 3 on Wednesday? Steven, I don't want you to miss the game. Wednesday, what are the keys to the game for the Leafs to take the series lead 2-1?
Well, we went from one true mustache to two true mustaches during the second game. Ryan, it's time for you to rejoin the Mo
I already
game.
Had my mustache. This is my playoff beard growing in. You wouldn't understand because you have a little peach fuzz over there, all right? So you get on my level and then come at me. Yeah, okay.
All right, fine.
Tim.
Wait, I don't get to say anything else?
You're canceled.
Your point about the next game is about mustaches. So thank you, Steven, for your... I'm going back and forth between cutting out the dumb penalties because I still don't have that much faith in our penalty kill, even though like it is nice to see them get a few good instances here. I think it's just keep up the intensity, like keep up skating for the pucks, keep on working for it. If you do that, the goals will come, whether it's from the top guys or the bottom guys. Bottom guys, you know, the faith is growing. David can't believe her.
Say his name, Tim. Say the guy's
Ryan
name.
Ryan Reeves. Is...
Say his full name. Middle name, too.
Ryan
Go.
Reynolds Reeves.
All right, Steven, take another shot at it.
I don't know. Tim did a good job there. I mean, well, because the Leafs come out of this game with a win, but it's like it's a one-goal game, a close game, like, we can say things that I think will make them, like, you know, maybe win it by 6, but you just gotta be ready to bring it. Yeah, I think keep up that physical energy, because besides those two dumb penalties, I don't think the Leafs did a lot of things that were even close to the line of being like, oh, that could have been a penalty. So maybe just take
McCabe.
Who's the defenseman? McCabe out of the lineup or something. But it's that. I think it's that. So Auston Matthews, get a good night's sleep. Sorry, all my suggestions here are jokes. Keep being good in the dot. They were great in the dot tonight. That's
it. You know what? We didn't talk about that, but game one, it was very brutal. Odd. Like, we were horrible in the faceoff, which is very unlike us. And, yeah, big rebound of that game too, so that was big. I'm going to say to continue to hold David Pastrnak at bay, which feels like a weird thing to say after he scored a goal this game. But like I said, he just doesn't feel like the Pastrnak I'm used to, where like every time he's on the ice, it feels like he's going to score. It just hasn't been like that. And I don't know if we're intentionally like converging and all over him. And I imagine it's the Benoit and McCabe line that are getting that hard matchup. And if that's the case, then they're doing a real good job. So I'd say keep doing that, because that Boston Bruins lineup doesn't have a lot of offense behind them, and Pastrnak supplies a ton of it. So if we can keep him, if we can keep him off the score sheet, then that's going to go a long way. So I like it. Any lineup changes that you want to see? I don't think so. Probably not after winning.
Yeah, I'd like to see Brad Marchand taken out of the lineup, please.
He was seen in an Olympic swimming pool practicing his diving. So what are you going to do?
It was brutal. All right. Wrap it up. We're done. Oh, wait. That's my job, right? I do the music still?
You wrap things up on this pod. I guess so.
All right, guys. You can sleep well tonight. Tomorrow? Man, the series is 1-1. Now it's just become a best of 5 series.
Remind me again, Wednesday night or Thursday night? When is the Maple Leafs game?
Wednesday. You're going to miss it.
All right. I can't.
I'll tell you to wake up on Wednesday morning.
What else am I wrong about? All right. Later.
Don't get me started.